Last week, I started this message called The End of Me, and you guys probably thought it was the end of me, but like he said, I'm back for part two, so it's not the end of me just yet. Here's a recap of the first part of this series that we talked about last week. We talked about disappointment and ways that we could overcome disappointment. Jesus taught us in the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount, that the only way to experience real life was by coming to the end of ourselves. Getting to that point where we realize that we're nothing without God and that we just let God take control of our lives. By coming to the end of ourselves, we learn to just trust God in every situation. We receive a new identity in Christ, and by coming to the end of ourselves, we witness God's incredible power because we see how he starts to use us in ways that we never imagined. Do you ever get annoyed with false advertising? I don't know how some of these eating places get by with these amazing foods, the pictures of the foods that they take. I mean, it's probably my fault. I mean, I'm going to a fast food place expecting this incredible burger, but I go there and the picture is like this big, juicy steak burger with lettuce, tomato, the whole works. And I get it, I open it up in this bag, and it's just like a smashed burger. You know what I'm talking about? I know it's a fast food place, but I mean, come on, how are they getting by with taking this amazing picture? At least take the real thing. I asked some of you guys on Facebook if any of you guys ever had any type of experience with false advertising or something like that. And one of the common answers was stay away from infomercials. Anybody have that problem? They do a really good job of convincing us that their product is worth it. But it should be a pretty good sign when you're watching the commercial and all of a sudden they switch to really bad acting and it's black and white and when they're trying to convince us that what we do normally is a bad idea and we need their product. But you know, it's only $19.99 and they throw in all this free stuff too, so we have to do that. We just have to get it. I saw one of these infomercials over the weekend. It was one about advertising 20/20 vision. Anybody wish they had that? It's 20/20 vision eyeglasses, and I would love those, but you put them on and you can adjust your vision. So if you're talking to somebody, you can adjust, and if you look down to read, you adjust again. Not like that's awkward or anything, but the ad even says that they're not stylish, but they work. So they may work to some degree, but can you really get 20/20 vision out of a pair of eyeglasses? I don't know. Listen to a couple of these real lawsuits that happen because of false advertising claims. You guys have heard of energy drink Red Bull. A lot of our youth group, they come in drinking that, I'm sure. And they're always like just hyped up with this Red Bull stuff. Okay, it's a joke. Nobody's laughing. So it says their slogan was, Red Bull gives you wings. The company had to pay because of the slogan, because it was false advertising. They paid up to a maximum of $13 million, including $10 to every customer who had bought the drink in 2002. So the reason that they had to pay all this money is because several people complained that they were drinking Red Bull and they never received wings. New Balance. They were accused of false advertising in 2011 over a pair of sneakers because they claimed that just by wearing them, it would help you burn calories just by wearing the shoe alone. So they had to pay a settlement of $2.3 million. So I guess the people that bought these forgot that you might actually have to walk or run to burn the calories. I don't know. Today, I want to focus on just one of the verses from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes that he preached. And we read all of these last week, but this week I just want to focus on one that I believe is really powerful and we can really apply it to our lives. None of us in this room like fake people. And in fact, a lot of times we don't like to be around them. The habit of pretending or being fake is so ingrained in us as humans sometimes that sometimes we don't even notice doing it. It's such a condition that we're conditioned to be impressive or to prove something to someone else. And we get to this point where this perfect, real me kind of hides behind this false image that we're trying to portray to other people. We try to portray this image that we want everyone else to see. Take, for example, the things that we post on, like, social media. You know, if I was going to go on a date with my wife, I would, you know, more than likely to take what they call selfie, and I'd say date night with my wife, you know. But I probably wouldn't, if we ever had an argument, which those are pretty rare, but I'm kidding, once again. If we ever had an argument, I probably wouldn't be like, you know, hey, Fawn, can we take a quick selfie of this moment and then post first argument of the day, you know? I would only post, and most of us would only post, certain things that we want people to see. And there are reasons for this. We sometimes hide behind who we really are. Maybe we think that no one will accept us for us. When we make mistakes in life, we're afraid that the people around us that will not forgive us, because they'll know something about us, something deep. Nowadays, some people are afraid to stand up for their beliefs. Instead, they hide behind what society tells them they should say or do, and they let others influence their decisions. Whatever the reason is why we do this and why people do this, portray this false advertisement of themselves, it's difficult to live out these words of Jesus, found in Matthew 5:8, the first part of this verse. Blessed are the pure in heart. What does this mean? What does it mean to have a pure heart? In the culture that Jesus spoke these words, they knew exactly what it meant to be pure. To be pure was to be clean, not associated with wrong things, not contaminated. It meant to be unmixed, not throwing any bad ingredients in. They knew the concept of this word. Remember the Pharisees? They were all about keeping certain rules. They would always teach people not to eat certain foods, not to hang out with the unclean. At that time, it was the Gentiles or whoever they didn't think was living up to their standards. But of course, we know that Jesus, he never paid attention to these rules. And the Pharisees wanted to make sure that everyone knew how pure they were, how perfect they were, and how unclean everyone else was. And Jesus was less concerned about the outward appearance and more concerned about the inside, the heart. Luke 18, we see a perfect example of this when the Pharisee and the tax collector are praying. Luke 18:10, it says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We touched on this verse last week. That same verse in the Message says this. I love this wording. This tax man, not the other, went home made right with God. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. You see, this statement is difficult. Blessed are the pure in heart. How can we measure up to being pure in heart? As humans, we're evil. We sin constantly. We make mistakes. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes we hide behind ourselves. What kind of things have we put in our hearts lately? What kind of bad ingredients have we put in our heart lately? Things that are causing us to not live the life that God intended us to live. We sometimes can put God on the back burner, or we can put him as a second option. When we feel the time is right, we say, like, when I'm ready to start serving God, I will. I just want to keep doing certain things that I know is not right. I can't give that up just yet. And living this kind of life can cause us to be divided in heart because we're pulled in so many different directions in life. When we're divided in heart, other negative effects start to happen. And God is not happy when we're divided in heart. But the Bible says that it pleases Him when we fill our minds and hearts with good things, good ingredients. Proverbs 11:20, the Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but He delights in those whose ways are blameless. This principle was very prominent, or was very important to the early church. They knew about this principle of being pure in heart because they'd heard Jesus preach about it. And they saw God enforce it among them. In the book of Acts, we see the church start to grow. And really just a movement starts, an incredible movement that the church was doing. Some of the things that they were doing was really a new concept at that time. Listen to some of the things they did. Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. When you think about this, this is pretty remarkable, the things that they were doing. Even when sometimes people give things or they do a really kind act, it's hard to sometimes do that without having some type of maybe ulterior motive behind it, right? We like the compliment or we like the recognition. It's just part of human nature. And I always remember when I was a kid, I would have, you know, some from time to time, you know, siblings, they have arguments. And my sister and brother would say something to me, and I would sometimes, you know, I would get mad at them, and they would say a comment to me, and I would say, hey, I don't need your compliments. What I really meant is I don't need your comments. But actually, I really probably would have liked their compliments at that time. Barclay says it this way about being pure in heart. He says that it demands that we examine what we do. Are we doing things out of selfless motives or from motives of self-display? When we go on to the next chapter, Acts chapter 5, we read about another story, a story about Ananias and Sapphira. And they did something similar to Barnabas. They saw him probably sell the field and give the money. So they did the same thing, but they lacked one thing. They did it without purity of heart. And their story shows us the importance of what it means to be authentic, what it means to be honest, and what it means to be undivided with each other. There are a few characteristics in the story that can help us really just diagnose a divided heart within ourselves. And, you know, and this series is all about just the end of me. And I think it's time for us to come to the end of ourselves, come to the end of our impure hearts, so that we can live a real life with Jesus again and start to see Him for who He really is. So I want to take a quick look at this story, Acts 5, verse 1. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to just human beings, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? Yes, she said, That is the price. Peter said to her, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. We notice a few things in this story. And I have three things that I'd like to point out today. And there's several more that I could point out. These are just a few. In verse 1 of that passage, we see Ananias and Sapphira, they sell a piece of property. And in verse number 2, it says, with his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself. Ananias and Sapphira, they probably saw Barnabas sell his field and give the money to the church. And they might have witnessed the respect that he received from it. You know, they were a part of the early church. And when someone does a good deed, people notice, right? So they announced that they were going to do the same thing, with the exception of holding back some of the money for them. Why did they do this? The text doesn't really say what Ananias and Sapphira's motives were, but it sure seems like their heart was not in the right place. Sometimes when our heart is not in the right place, we can get in the habit of becoming jealous, having jealous thoughts towards others. I could be wrong about their motives, but it's the outcome of their story that really helps me to see that something was not right. Maybe they were new Christians and they just made a mistake. Or maybe they truly wanted to do a good deed and they wanted to sell and give the money to the church. But you find out in the rest of this passage that the devil comes in and tempts them to do just a little bit extra. And this is exactly what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to disrupt what was happening in that first chapter, Acts chapter 4, where all those remarkable things were going on. He wanted to come in and disrupt what was going on in the church. Sometimes we even see that now. A difference of opinions or a different set of beliefs, whatever it might be, and we start to, it causes people to be divided against each other, and it hurts the church. A divided heart is jealous, but not only that, it's also greedy. If a divided heart is jealous, it's going to pursue the recognition it desires by being greedy. And in Ananias and Sapphira's case, it was material greed, you know, and combined probably with just wanting a little bit of attention from other people. The truth is that they could have kept a portion of the money. There wasn't necessarily a law that said they had to give it all, but it was the lie. It was lying to Peter. It was lying to the church. Sapphira's behavior even suggested it was a lie, that the lie was something that they had planned in advance. They knew what they were doing. One example that I believe is very prevalent just in Christian circles is being greedy and jealous towards others, but more so in this specific area. For example, sometimes we can look around and we can see believers or non-believers, and we can see a series of good events happening for them. Positive things taking place in their life or blessings that they're receiving. And sometimes as Christians, we can look at that and be jealous, be greedy, or be like, why is it happening to them? What? Look at the situation I'm in. And in reality, God wants to see our response, especially if we are in the midst of challenging circumstances. A divided heart is jealous, it's greedy, but a divided heart is also fearful. And as the rest of the story plays out, it seems like Peter gives Ananias and Sapphira a chance to make things right. Maybe it was a split second, but he asked them a series of questions to confess, to make things right. And if they would have confessed or if they would have just acknowledged what they had done, surely the consequences would have been less severe. But whatever their motive was, they lied, even to the point of death. And that may seem harsh, like a harsh consequence, and I'm sure that's not even something Peter probably would have asked for, that type of consequence. But God is very serious about being pure of heart and having undivided motives. And this kind of story in the Bible, when we read this kind of story, it scares us a little because we think that it kind of gives us a false sense of who God is. Like, if we don't live the perfect Christian life, is God going to be that harsh with me? This was a pivotal time in church history. And if there had been no consequences for their actions in that moment, dishonesty would have become more prevalent. People would have thought that they could steal from the church, steal from others, and it would be worth it. They would have thought that they could deceive the Spirit. In fact, in verse 9, Peter asked the question, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? They said nothing at all. In fact, this was Sapphira. She said nothing at all and did not try to make things right. Neither one of them. God was not about to tolerate any of this type of behavior. In fact, look what Paul tells the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 25. And once again, I'm going to read it in the Message. It says, what this adds up to then is this. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. I would like us today just to take an honest look at our lives. Are we truthful people? Do we embellish the truth of who we are? Are our spiritual lives for real, or are we putting on a front? The answers to those questions will probably reveal areas in your life where God wants to make you pure in heart. Honestly, I don't know the consequences. I don't think the consequences will be as severe nowadays, because I believe God is a gracious God. But sooner or later, you will come to the end of me. And jealousy, greed, fear, any other thing that you want to put in that list will become symptoms, and they'll change from being symptoms to actually running your life and becoming, and it'll become a normal thing for your life. They will start to make you a person that is not pure in heart. But if you're willing to take the opportunity to come clean, to strive for purity of heart, then God is ready to listen. He's ready to hear. Because the rest of that small little verse in Matthew 5, verse 8 says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And you know, Satan wants to whisper a lot of lies in your ear. He wants to tell you that you're not good enough, you need to be more like this person over here or that person. And if you do what God is telling you to do, you're going to fall flat on your face, you're going to get made fun of, you know, whatever lies that he puts in your ears. And you know, and it is true, it is possible that you might try to do something for God and you might fall flat on your face or you might get made fun of. But God is telling you today to stop hiding behind the lies of the enemy, to stop hiding behind the things that he's trying to put in your mind to cause you to stop serving God 100%. Because he's telling you to stop hiding yourself behind all these lies, because you know what? It's just going to wear you out. It wears us out. Instead, he says he wants us to come see him waiting to receive us and to give us a pure heart. Psalm 24, 3 and 4, David says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. You know, those 20/20 eyeglasses, they may work to some degree, but they probably don't give you this perfect 20/20 vision. But do you want to see God today? The purer our hearts become, the more we will begin to see God in ways that we never imagined. The more we focus on him and set aside distractions in our life, or maybe set aside certain friends in our life that aren't helping us live this Christian life, maybe they're distracting us, the more we will see him. I want to read just one more verse today, and it's found in Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I love that last line, eager to do what is good. I by no means stand up here as a perfect man, but I do want to see God with a pure heart. And if that means that I have to sacrifice things in this world that are sinful, if I have to sacrifice from watching certain things or listening to certain things or being at certain events or being a part or being at certain places, whatever that might be that could cause me to stumble, then I'm okay with that. I don't want my view of God to be blurred because of what I'm doing. I want to see Him more clearly than ever before. The Christian life, I believe, is not about filling the church, but I believe it's about filling our lives with the presence of God and His Spirit and coming to the end of me. So I guess my challenge for you today is to start seeing God with a different set of lenses. And as we close in prayer, I just ask that you guys would just really ask God to help you put aside distractions or put aside things that are holding you back. That's what this series has been about. Just coming to the end of yourself, letting there be less of you and more of God.